Welcome to our exchange session on feedback in the workplace today, with a focus on millennials. I'd like to invite, since we're in this huge room and kind of spread out, I'd like to invite you to come in just a little bit, and you don't have to feel embarrassed. If you get really bored and you need to leave, that's okay, but just you want to, later. My name is Anna Carroll, and we're going to be giving away three books called The Feedback Imperative. And so if you'll give your card into this little jar, we're going to, in about 15 or 20 minutes, we'll go ahead and give call the names out. The format for this session is an exchange. So it's meant for me to kind of throw some ideas out, and then for you to be able to ask questions, share your own observations, argue with me or one another if you like. We want a lively discussion today. So I am going to, in just a minute, turn my little egg timer on for 15 minutes, and I'm going to yak for about 15 minutes, and then when the bell rings, I'll allow myself to finish that thought, if you're okay with that. And then we will feel free to raise issues, ask questions. I even have some suggested on the handout that you received on your chair or nearby. There are some questions. There's a picture of a feedback loop, and under the loop, there are a bunch of suggested topics that we could talk about, or we could talk about anything, raise any topic at all. And on the other side of the handout are the chapters contained in the book, The Feedback Imperative. So that should kind of throw out some thought starters for you. So I'm not going to expand a really long time I'm not going to give a long lecture on this topic. Okay, thank you so much. Feel free to make yourselves comfortable. Stretch out. Okay. Feedback at work leads to happiness at work. And the opposite's also true. Lack of feedback at work leads to unhappiness at work. Now, it sounds kind of controversial, probably, because you're thinking, feedback? Nobody really wants to be, certainly not, criticized. And yeah, those millennials who are, by the way, leading this whole change in the workplace, they have a stereotype. We have a stereotype that people want positive feedback, pats on the back. But actually, there have been a lot of studies that have been done, one recent one published in Harvard Business Review last year by Jack Zinger. And I just talked to the chief people officer of HomeAway, and she told me that people in her workplace on a survey just recently done about a month ago stated that 25% higher number of people want feedback than are receiving it. So people want critical feedback, they want positive feedback, and they also want corrective feedback. In the Harvard study, they qualified it. They said appropriately given corrective feedback. So we're not talking about this is unacceptable work, kind of mean people running around insulting people. We're talking about corrective feedback that helps you change what you're doing. So there's this huge hue and cry right now, led by younger workers and by top talent, hard to retain talent, people who want to get better at what they do, who have very ambitious goals. There's a huge movement going on right now. There's a cry, there's a demand for more feedback, more frequently, faster feedback, more honest feedback. Detailed feedback, examples of feedback. And there's a huge demand for it, and yet the supply stays kind of the same as it's always been. It's gotten a little better lately. So people are willing to leave the company if they can't get career-enhancing feedback. When given a choice in the Harvard study, they were asked, would you rather have positive feedback or corrective feedback, if you could only have one. And 60 to 40% wanted the corrective feedback, if they only had one choice. Three-fourths of the respondents said that they would like to receive corrective feedback as career enhancement. If they're looking at just helping them on the job, get better, improve, they need corrective feedback. So there's a big demand, and yet I think there's a stereotype, particularly among a lot of managers, those of us who lead people and need to give this feedback. They're like, yeah, they just want a pat on the back, and no, I don't want to be giving them all that feedback. But right now, there's like a revolution building. Now, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that corporations, particularly some big corporations, are responding well to this demand. And in fact, they're abolishing, in a lot of companies, the old once-a-year performance review format for feedback. You've probably heard, some of you read about, how many people have heard about this? General Electric, Adobe Systems, Medtronic, there are a lot of companies, Deloitte, Accenture, Microsoft, have now pretty much killed the annual performance review. And a lot of people have killed the stacked rankings, which are the like a mean, ugly part of it, where you have to stack all 12 people who report to you. Maybe you've gathered together the crackerjack team, and you have 12 fabulous people, and yet you've got to rank them in order of 1 to 12. So maybe number 11 is actually a really good performer, but you have to show that they are number 11. So if there's ever a layoff here, they are going to be fired. And people just don't like that, obviously. And some employees are willing to leave because of it. There was kind of a revolution at Adobe. They were so upset with all the time and energy it took and how demoralized people got by having the performance review. What are they replacing it with? Faster, more frequent feedback conversations between manager and employee. So some companies haven't totally abolished the performance review. Google, Twitter, Facebook, some of those companies are definitely espousing a philosophy and instituting more frequent feedback conversations. Some people are using apps, and there are a lot of those apps in development right this minute. They're not even totally finished. Some of them are beta right now for being able to text, messaging, using email, using tools, using software that will allow people to exchange fast feedback or send out a survey if they want feedback. Now, I contend that that's all well and good, but it's still difficult because of the reason why my bad news. The bad news is that human beings are basically still at the Paleolithic level where fight or flight goes into the brain when it's time to have a feedback conversation. So we're very, very reluctant to give feedback, particularly corrective feedback. And what makes it worse is if you haven't given it in 4 years and you have people who worked for you for 10 years or you haven't given it to them, then it's harder. And then the fear builds and builds and builds. And the way the brain works, I go into the neuroscience, the mirror neurons, which are how your brain is reading my brain subconsciously. If I am nervous in having to give you some feedback, or I'm kind of walking in and I want to give you some feedback, then you pick up on that right away, and it creates fear in your brain. We've also shown studies that if I go in there, I'm used to feedback. We're going to work together. This is great. I want feedback from you. We're all going to be exchanging feedback. Here, next time when we do this project, let's do it this way. I have a suggestion. And by the way, when we led it that way, the customer said this and this and this. So if I say it in a positive way, even if it's so-called negative feedback, people's brains relax, and they are fine with it. And in fact, they're happy with it. So you may be saying, well, what is feedback? On the handout, I show a picture of a feedback. I love the feedback loop because it goes back to a scientific, neutral understanding of feedback. Feedback is simply information. Feedback is simply information. And now that we're in a stream of information coming in everywhere, we're swimming in it, particularly digital natives, the younger employees. They're used to getting answers all the time, looking things up. Feedback is everywhere, streaming around them, except I have one slide that I use sometimes with a manager with tape, a boss, tape over their mouth. It's like feedback's everywhere, except when we're bosses, we're not really giving the feedback. So there's this huge demand, growing demand for feedback. Companies are espousing, giving faster, more frequent feedback loops where you get information, and then you can adjust the performance based on the feedback. Feedback is simply information from past performance or past process that allows you to improve the future process. So the Fitbit, I see that I've only got 6,000 miles. I mean, 6,000 steps today. And so I need 4,000 more. I'm much more willing, and they show that people are much more willing when they have feedback to actually add the steps that they need, when they know how where they are with it. Through gamification, through uses on the World Wide Web, we're seeing filling out an airline ticket to buy an airline ticket. We see a bar graph. You're 1/4 of the way through. Now you're 1/2 of the way through. And I'm like, oh, good, I want to finish this. So feedback motivates us to do little tasks. And yet in the workplace, when it comes to boss's input or sometimes peer employee input, it's absent. So what's the solution? We have to calm ourselves down, reframe feedback as a positive gift, as a way to coach our people, as a way to give them what they want, as a way to have a fabulous team, a way to have more fun. And when people reframe it that way, they're able to accept it and use it more effectively. There are a lot of unintended benefits of feedback. I've worked with some companies, and one company in Houston, they were starting, it was in the oil business, and several things happened. First, when they started a program of feedback, creating a feedback culture, people, the great employees loved it. The employees who wanted to learn more loved it. But some of the poor performing employees who were just came to work every day, arrived, just sat at their desks, wanted to go home, they hated it, and they left the company on their own. So if they, once they knew that, hey, we're not going to forget this. We're going to be looking at this data. We're getting feedback. And the managers are going to be asking for our feedback. We're going to be in a feedback-rich world. It really wasn't something they desired. So they left the company. It wasn't a lot of people, just a few people. And another unintended consequence was that they needed to shift some strategies because actually their customer was the oil industry. They are not in the oil industry, but their main customer is the oil industry. So they were, because people were more willing to be candid and honest and transparent, they were able to raise their suggestions, raise their concerns about the company, and raise their ideas and create a new strategy faster. Like, we need to do something fast. So they were much more open and willing to do that. Transparency, we've been talking, I've been hearing that word today at lunch and everywhere else. Transparency is the number one quality that people want now in leaders, and they want to be developed. It's actually a tie between I want a transparent, honest leader, and I want to be developed. Now, that's a change. We've always wanted leaders we could trust. We've not wanted dishonest leaders. So 10 years ago, 20 years ago, people wanted leaders they could trust. But the shift is a little subtle. It's we want leaders who will tell us the raw truth that we can trust to tell us everything that we need to know. Because we trust ourselves through information and through our own training to act on things, to suggest ideas, to be an active, involved party to the work. So we just want somebody we can trust who will provide accurate information to us. And we want to be developed so that we can move ahead in our careers and be able to contribute at a higher level. In the old days, people wanted somebody they could respect, somebody who would inspire them, somebody who would be a great communicator of the company vision. But it was almost like a little kind of, now that I'm thinking about it, it's just like a little paternalistic. I want someone who will convey to me this inspiring vision and motivate me to want to be here and explain it to me 6 ways from Sunday, and now I'll feel motivated, I'll be happy to be on this team. But it's kind of changed. I want to get down and dirty with the strategy. I want to be able to talk to the CEO if I don't agree with that. I want just the facts, just the facts, just the facts, and I want to know how to improve. That's a shift. I don't know if Jenny's in here. Virginia, who works with me sometimes, said that it reminds her, what I was telling her about this, that of people's relationship with their doctors. They used to want a doctor who would take care of them. You're going to be okay. We got this under control here. I'm going to give you a really good pharmaceutical drug that's going to help you. And you didn't really feel, people didn't feel that need to know every detail about it. Now people are on the internet, reading a lot of research, coming into the doctor, knowing what they want to ask for. And they're willing to change their minds because they know they're not doctors. They're not trained doctors. But they need to be convinced by the facts and information. So if the doctor doesn't want to give you what treatments you're wanting, they better be able to explain why, right? So it's more like an information partnership, and there's a speed factor to all of this. In fact, the name of the book here is How to Give Everyday Feedback to Speed Up Your Team's Success. Because the feedback loops that are created by the information from the feedback, we make adjustments, and then we have new results to look at. Then we spin it around again. Information adjustments, and then pretty soon it's just information adjustment. It's a lot like the Agile methodology for software development and used in a lot of industries. How many know about the Agile? So it's very similar. It's totally in sync with that philosophy. What I'm maintaining, I'm a social worker. In addition to, I've been an organizational consultant for decades, but I also am a social worker, and I really see that this whole issue of the reluctance for feedback is based on largely emotional and psychological issues. So the reasons that we're not getting it have to do with emotional and psychological issues, and we have to address those. So there are a lot of ways to do that. Look at your own style, look at your belief system, change your brain, explain to your organization what you want to create, have a vision, and accept feedback, be a role model for taking feedback in, using feedback, not punishing people who give feedback. So there are a lot of things you can do to alleviate the problem. I'm not sure my timer's working, is it? Oh, it's not. We have 1 minute. Okay. So and I could go into a lot of, like, look at your own style. Are you more of an analytical style? Are you more of a people pleaser, empathizer? Are you a motivator? Are you a charger? How does that affect your feedback? We could go into more about the brain science. We could go into how to create change, how to deal with defensive people who are defensive, who are not enjoying feedback. How do you deal with, you've been a manager of some of the same people for 10 years, and you haven't been giving feedback, and now you're going to start? So there are a lot of topics we could talk about. So I think I will open it up for you. And we might need to go to the microphone. So if you, partly my own hearing, but partly, okay. So you want to get in line behind her?
Hi, good afternoon. How do you feel like your approach is different from like crucial conversations and that sort of thing? How is this a little bit different?
I think it's somewhat in sync in a way. Crucial conversations is sort of a large universe of things to do. It could be your, like, brother-in-law. I mean, it could be family issues. And I'm specifically carved out of, so if you have a Venn diagram of feedback in all situations or crucial conversations, then this would be a smaller arena. And also, I like to say that if we get a culture going of great conversations with feedback of this sort, we want to prevent crucial conversations. So we still might have to have some crucial conversations, but we've been talking about it a lot, and so we're checking in more frequently, having sort of smaller micro conversations so that we can not have to have the crucial conversation. I think there's a similar, there are some similarities. I think feedback without a shared goal is useless. So, it's like people don't accept it well. So in crucial conversations, you do want to kind of try to come to some sort of a shared understanding or mindset. And in feedback in the workplace, we also want to talk about, you know, since we're trying to speed up our response to those customers, we want to cut in half our response time. I want to talk about some ways we can do that. One thing I noticed this week is that we haven't, when these questions are coming in email and they're not, we're having to delay for a few days, it might be frustrating our customers. So how can we make them feel like we're taking care of them faster? So it would be important to repeat the shared goal. In fact, I have a coin model, a four-step coin model. It starts with connect. So I think it's not different than crucial conversations, but crucial conversations is more of a philosophy that encompasses a larger world. Whereas this can be, you can start out almost tactically and kind of build up to a level of trust. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I appreciate your answer. I just wanted to tell you, too, what I think is kind of my light bulb moment from this is I think about when we talk about holding people accountable, that has such a negative connotation.
Yes.
As opposed to giving them feedback. But I think they're very similar. It just has to do with how you approach and enter a conversation.
Yeah, that's a good point. That phrase, holding them accountable, it's almost like, you know, I'm going to hold them here, like, rigidly. And it's almost like you are accountable for this instead of we are doing this to achieve this. So I think you're right. And I think if you have frequent feedback, like I call it everyday feedback, because it just means like as in any day, every day. And yeah, if you're a leader, you're going to probably talk to somebody every day, but you may not be talking to one person every day. You may for 2 days in a row or 3 days, but so I'm going to hold you account. It's more like, oh yeah, let's do this. I'm talking to everybody in our meeting. We're going to talk about it as a team. So does that satisfy your...
But I think leaders need to ask for the feedback too, that we're good at giving it, but we also need to ask for it.
Yes, we need to ask for it. That's really important.
But how do you get them to give it?
For one thing, we need, if we haven't been really doing things in this positive... I like the way you pointed out several things. It's like how you frame this whole thing. And it's like, we think we can reach our goals faster. I help leaders come to a message. Like, you know what, we've now begun to examine. Some of you have been asking for more feedback. I realize as their manager that I have not been giving you feedback that frequently. And it's not as helpful as it needs to be. So we really want to focus on creating a feedback environment in which I'll be having a lot more conversations with you, and I really need your feedback too. So in every single feedback conversation we have, I forgot to say that, with an employee, we need to ask for feedback every single time. And we need to listen to it. And we need to, particularly people, like say in a meeting, you might ask it in a meeting as well, I want your feedback. Somebody, a bold person, is like, okay, why don't we paint that break room purple, you know, or something. It's just like, you need to just respect all the ideas, and if you could possibly change, you need to give us the project list faster. And so you might get some kind of wacky, out of the blue things. And we need to respond to those. So we need to say, that's important. I realize that I'm a big part of how we need to change here in our feedback loop. So yes, I will. So you need to really exaggerate your response to the feedback they give you so that you are visibly, if it's something you absolutely cannot do because it's like, okay, that'll cost $1.2 million to do that, then you can say, I understand your frustration with this issue. Let's find some other ways to address that. So we need to, they almost need to become like, not actors, because you don't want to be fake, but authentically exaggerating the response to when people give you feedback. There will be some people who don't trust it, and they'll be slower to catch on. So, but we want to also reward. If somebody gives you kind of funky feedback in a meeting or openly, you can say, you know what? Sean gave me this feedback, which I really appreciate. He asked da-da-da-da-da, and then thank you for bringing up that tough issue. So in a meeting, if they bring up something tough, reward them. Show that you value what they're saying. Okay? I'm sorry, she was going to go ahead.
How can you empower your team, especially a team of...
Can you get closer to the microphone? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. How can I empower my team, especially a team of younger employees, to give each other feedback? So more than just me giving them feedback, especially if they tend to avoid conflict a little bit, how can I encourage them and empower them to do that?
Okay, and you're wanting them to give them to give feedback in the meeting to each other?
To each other, either in meetings or outside of meetings. I mean, are there tools or systems that can be put in place to help with that?
I think what you can do, it gets back to that shared goal idea. So if you can emphasize the shared goal, so we want our whole group to get better. We want everybody to get better at our sales or whatever we're doing. So I would like you guys to help each other so that the whole team is getting better. And I'd like to hear about some of the helpful suggestions others have given you and maybe have some appreciation. Sometimes some people will speak up and say, Cheryl gave me this feedback, and it was really helpful. So, again, you have to like kind of prime the pump of a new culture because, you've read about probably the Amazon story in the New York Times about how they used apps, and now the app companies, there are people making apps. And I have some questions about, for instance, anonymous feedback. I have a kind of strong stance against anonymous feedback, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. But, so if they're using apps to kind of tattletale on other people, or they're like writing negative remarks to somebody, kind of just like dissing them, then that's a problem. So they're probably afraid of coming across that way. But it's tough. I mean, sometimes in agile environments, they have the scrums where they have meetings, and then sometimes people don't point out the elephant in the room. There's something obvious. Somebody's way behind. They don't really know how to do something. And nobody kind of... So it's a tough thing. It's more like positively reinforce any little steps that they do towards that, and also ask them to, can you as a team get together, or can you each have everyone come away with an action step? Let's have everybody have feedback. Have your group give feedback. And that tends to work pretty well.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, I'm sorry. Does somebody else have a question over here? Yeah, I might have to repeat the question if you... Okay, they're using the microphone, but go ahead.
Okay. So I have a millennial employee that I absolutely adore and want to keep. And she is just outperforming anyone I've ever had. And I'm hearing you say that if I want to keep her, we're now in this era where she needs to get some positive feedback, or just feedback.
Yes.
Right.
She's got a millennial employee that she wants to retain.
Oh, my God.
Fabulous employee.
I want her to own her own business like mine. I want to give her that gift later. She's just incredible. So it sounds like there is some type of dialogue that will increase my success for this delivery, because people do when they get feedback. Exactly. I want to make sure that I'm successful. Is there like a dialogue that you go through?
I have one, but in general, I have this COIN model, which is connect, make some observations, talk about the business impact, and then go to the future. If you focus it on the future, that's another great aspect of just framing feedback towards future success. But one thing, how long does she work for you?
She's on a 90-day trial.
So she's on a 90, are we towards the end of the 90 days?
Or we're at 60.
We're at 60 days. Okay, so 60 days have gone by, and you probably haven't had constant feedback with her yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's like texting, you know, she's looking for it, and I think I'm doing okay.
She's texting, wanting feedback.
I want to make sure that I'm doing the right things.
You might start in person if you're more comfortable talking to her in person and just say, you know what, I probably haven't been giving you as much feedback as would be ideal because I want to develop you in the job. You could tell her just like you told me, I want you to be highly successful here and also in your career as you go down. So I think we need to have more mentoring. You can call it coaching and mentoring too. More mentoring conversations. The mentor used to be someone over here, you found this groovy older person that you went and talked to. Well, now... I'm a groovy older person. All managers, we don't have time for all that. Everybody needs to mentor. Everybody who's in a leadership role needs to mentor people and help them get ahead and learn more. So you might say, I haven't been. And so you might be able to think of some challenge things for her to do. Like if she's wanting, say she's handling a customer account, and then you want her to handle a little bit. Maybe if you're really just wanting to develop her, you might say, and you know what, I think it would be really great for you to learn these other kinds of accounts. So I'd like to assign you to do this. How do you feel about that? Or are you done this really?
Is that like a perceived, like, okay, this is a reward for your amazing work, and we're going to continue along your... Okay.
Yes, and also, if you can think of some improvements, you want to be honest with them. With people. Yeah, you want to be honest with them. If there are some improvement areas, this transparency thing creates trust. I know it's kind of scary, but the more transparency, the more they trust you. And this is interesting. The analogy that I could use was, if I'm the employee, I want to be able to go home on Friday night knowing that over that weekend, my manager likes what I'm doing, and there's no hidden agenda. They're not going to call me in on Monday morning and give me this feedback. That they want to know where they stand and be able to rest easily and have a culture and have a relationship in which, you know, you will tell them anything that comes up right away. And then there's more trust that's created, and there's more willingness to do more. And there are no consequences. The other problem we've had is it's mixed with performance review in the past. She doesn't have one, but... sometimes they think, wait a minute, are you rating me down? Because that's in the culture that you may have had in your company. So we have to, the best time to start a feedback program or a new culture would be just after the annual review, if you have annual review, would be just after that. So I want to be giving feedback to more people. I want feedback back. We want to have these feedback loops spinning a lot faster. We want you to grow. We want the company to grow. We want to create stretch goals for everybody. And So you're going to have, if you talk to every employee every week, they will have 52 opportunities to improve before the next performance review, if it's annually, if you do have performance review. At first, I don't love performance review, but I am performance review agnostic because I think feedback can be wonderful whether you have performance review or whether you've abolished performance review. You need it. Your company needs feedback. And then if you've given great feedback and received it, then the performance reviews, they're paperwork to do. But so I guess the answer I'm saying is yes, you need to, and you might just acknowledge, hey, because you don't want to come out of the blue like for her to say, what is going on here? This is weird. You know, you want to say, you know, I've been thinking, or I've been talking to some friends or talking to some other managers, and I realize that I want to start coaching you more. Not because you're doing bad. Actually, I was motivated the other way around because I know that you have stretch goals. One thing, you also reminded me of women in the workplace. Somebody was saying they want more feedback. And people want, it is true that sometimes women are discriminated against. And the way men discriminate against women in the workplace is they don't give us as much feedback. See if you agree with this. What they do is they, this is interesting. So you might have some people who are kind of like the boss, who they play soccer with their kid, or they like have similar hobbies or whatever, or they just, the boss kind of gets them. And if the woman or diverse person of any people of color, people from outside, if it was a guy they're mentoring, they might say, you cannot wear that in the meeting with that customer next week. Or they might say, do not jump up and say that next time. They're like harsh almost to people they like, people they want to groom. They're giving them feedback. Whereas for a woman or a minority they're not comfortable with, they might just say, oh, you're just such a pleasure to have around. We just love having you on our team. While I'm going out here, bringing in somebody from somewhere else or grooming another person to take the top job. So instead of ask for just saying, as a woman, I want more feedback, can you give me feedback? That's out of context. It's good to put it into a context of, you know, my goal is to become a leader of one of the development teams. And so in order to do that, I want to understand more about project management. And so I really, please give me feedback on anything that would relate to this goal. And then the manager is more comfortable giving the feedback than just asking for feedback, or the person just, you know, asking for feedback. Now, I'm sure this ambitious young woman is probably not just asking. She's probably suggesting some ideas.
Probably.
Yeah, she's got ideas. So, okay, yeah.
I have a question kind of to spin off of that. If you feel as though you may be one of the employees that is a minority that the manager isn't comfortable dealing with, and they've suggested a mentor to you that might be more like you, what is a way in which you can respectfully give the feedback, like, you know, you're my manager and I want the feedback coming from you, like, how can you?
And they're holding back on the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you can try, you can do a number of things. One is just, like I said, like, think of some goals that you have and say, it's really important to me, and I want to eventually learn the financial area and blah, blah, blah. And so it's really important that I have feedback on this now. The other thing you can do is kind of prime the pump. There are probably a couple areas that we know we're pretty good at and some that we just struggled, we were late for something. So you can almost like prime the pump. And so I know I was late for this. And probably should I, you know, one thing on the question is, how would I prioritize this next time? So you might suggest your own. You have some idea? Did you have an idea?
Oh, it just made me think of something that, being a Generation Xer,
yes,
feedback was not, if it was given, it was typically critical or negative. And it was kind of then started to, start with something positive. And so I would just also encourage you to think, they may not know how to give feedback. And so the priming, I think, is a really great way to get them to start talking to you. Because I think once they really know you want that feedback, you want to mentor people and you want to see them succeed. So I think that that's probably a great way to go about it, because how to give feedback, I think, is one of the most difficult things in what I do in bringing young designers up. And I was curious, I'm not going to ask my question now, because she's. But I just think priming the pump would be a great way to get them to talk with you about it.
Exactly. And it's kind of come up with some goals to tell them, share your goals and also prime the pump. And also you also can have some partners, some peers you can exchange feedback with, and possibly even another manager or some other people to bring them into the game. Thank you.
So I was actually hoping that we could focus a little bit more on millennials. So with the workforce now, right, we've got all sorts of generations together at the same time. On my team, I have people ranging from 20s to 50s reporting to me. And the expectations when it comes to feedback is totally different. So the way I communicate with my 50-year-old is not how I communicate with my 20-something-year-old. Expectations are different. I find that with the millennials, they're coming into the workforce, they're hungry, they're used to instant gratification. And so what are some of the tricks that have worked for people? For me, you know, one thing I do with my team is I have formal bi-weekly conversations. I'm in a virtual team, so most of my team is overseas, but I still have some with me in Houston. The virtual conversation, the bi-weekly conversations, we talk about what you're working on, where you need, where can I help you? And I find that the question, how can I help you, people typically open up very well. And it's a matter of building trust. But particularly with the younger generation, the more challenging the assignment, the more receptive they are, the more visibility you grant them into how what they're doing fits into the big picture, the more productive they are. They really need to know that you have their well-being. It's not the generation we grew up in. It's not the generation my mom or my dad, whoever grew up in. It's just a different workplace, and I'm curious to hear what's worked for people with millennials.
I like that approach. So, and that's a great frame for everybody, by the way. How can I help you? And for different people, that help might come out differently. Other comments on this? Great comment here. Yes?
What I do is But my job is to make you look good, to help you do your job. So you need to tell me at all times what you need, no matter how small it is.
My job is to make you look good.
That's right.
So you need to tell me. Exactly. And the frame for any feedback is really that, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm here to help you, and being helpful isn't necessarily to hide the feedback. So that they're wanting feedback. But you're right. And based on the culture, some different cultures accept feedback differently. So that it's really important to be respectful for that. Yes?
Yes. So for my generation, we came from a generation, or at least I wanted to, when I turned 16, get a driver's license. I wanted wheels. I wanted some place I can go, get there, be on my own. You know, I feel like I'm pretty self-motivated. However, my experience with the new millennials, and what I would like to know is, how do you motivate somebody who may not have that self-motivation piece? Maybe they've relied on their parents or maybe some other figure for that motivation, and you're just not quite sure where to find that motivation piece from. Because, an example, a lot of the new millennials do not care to even get their driver's license. Like, I wanted wheels so I can go. They just want to not get their driver's license and depend on somebody else for them to drive. So just that kind of as an example, how would you say you've found that it's been best to motivate these new millennials?
That's cool. I think I understand on the driver's license thing, I've heard that people want to be able to use their technology. That's one of the reasons, actually, my stepson said that, that he wanted to have somebody else drive for a while. He delayed getting his driver's license. I think it gets back to the shared goals. So maybe we need to spend more time aligning and having conversations. One thing about millennials is they like to more sit together, socialize at work. A lot of people, not everybody. But there's a tendency to want to have conversations off and on with people, and certainly texting in a way. So maybe having more conversations about what you're trying to achieve. Have you tried that?
Yes, I think the problem in lies is that they may not even know what goals they want to set for themselves.
Exactly. Well, I think this is kind of weird. I don't believe in bottom-up goals that much. Because I think unless you have somebody who's a superstar, like we talked about this over here, if you have somebody who really gets it, you need to understand what the organization's about. What are we doing for our customers? And then they have a piece in that, and they understand their role. And until they really get that, I wouldn't ask them, what are your goals? And I mean, you might, and if they get it, they're doing a good work, then you say, what would you like to learn? Maybe what you'd like to learn, what would you like to achieve in life? Maybe goals for their future, their career.
I guess, have you seen that millennials are motivated? Like, some can't even say, I'm motivated to advance, you know. You know, I'm kind of motivated for the here and the now, and whatever happens next is whatever happens. So I guess, have you seen success in different ways that you can drive that motivation towards what your goal is?
Well, I think one thing you could do is have an alignment a lot of alignment conversations, and then they may want to drop out. If you have a lot of clarification of what we're here to do, what we're doing, ask them, you might say, within this goal of customer service, how do you see enhancing it? And they may just say, ooh, I don't want to do that. But what any other answers to this question that y'all have? Thank you. Sounds challenging.
I'm a millennial, and I've come from my previous job. I worked in a very large department, and my supervisor was very busy. So we had the regular reviews where I would sit down, and I was a hard worker, and he'd be like, you're doing great. Your customers love you. Just keep it up. And that's all of the feedback that I got. I wanted negative feedback. Yeah. I wanted to know how I could grow, because I knew I'm very critical of myself, so I was seeking, it's like, are these thoughts that I'm having on how I can improve what you're seeing? Whereas I think his idea and the feedback he gave was, you're doing great, keep it up, where I thought, okay, well, I can kind of sit back and not do as much work as I had been doing because he's happy with it. There's no reason to go above and beyond. He's not even going to notice it. So now I'm kind of in a new role where it's just me and my boss, and it's very intimate, and I keep asking for negative feedback or just any feedback at all. And I found that I'm having trouble finding my motivation again because I had kind of lost it at that point because I didn't really get the feedback I wanted. So I don't know how to position my request for feedback. Like, I understand the shared goals, but to maintain my own motivation, I really want to be invested and feel like I am contributing. So I don't know if that helps your idea at all or your question, but I would, as a millennial, I want to know that I am contributing something big. And then so seeing, like, so we implemented your idea and it's working great, that would be something that would kind of drive me to work harder.
It sounds great. It sounds like you're ready for some more challenges.
Yeah.
So, see, and it's also perfect proof. See, she wants that feedback, and she wants the corrective feedback. Mm-hmm. And a lot of managers think, well, you know, if they're doing a pretty good job, I don't want to get them upset.
Yeah. A conversation I had with my boss recently was, I was saying, I'm having all of these critical thoughts of myself, so if I can tell myself that you're going to tell me if something's going on, then I can tell myself that it's not that big of a deal. She'll tell me. So that's kind of given me a more positive perspective on my job. But I do really crave, it's like, because I work in a design atmosphere as well. So I've started just lining, like, I'm not sure about this and this and this and this, because I wasn't getting it. It was just, oh, it looks great. It's like, no, I need more than that.
Well, if I had a team of people like you, I would say, oh, this is a great opportunity. Hey, gang, let's talk together about how to enhance our company, how to grow our company, how to do some new things, how to get into some different business, how to increase our revenue, how to get into some other customer areas. So I would use the brain trust that you guys represent to help me move forward, and I'd like you guys to lead the effort of our change in our company.
Yeah, and I think just even my peers, they would agree with me in saying that we really we want to be a part of the team and feel like our voice is heard.
And it also speaks to that thing about you guys want to be part of the strategy. So you want to be part of the plans. Okay, so we had one over here, and then we'll take this one.
Yeah, I'm like, I might have just had my question answered with her speaking. So pretty great. But So it's fascinating to me as I learn more about myself, you know, as
yes.
as you age and insights and what has society done and why am I reacting this way or experiences. So one of your questions is one that I'm curious about, is the seeking for constant feedback. And the trick for me is I have several millennials that work with me and they are fantastic and want to mentor and motivate and continue them going. But what drives them to seek as much feedback as they are asking for? And so what experiences did they have growing up that's giving them that the need for that feedback so that I can better align?
It's really the sea of information, their environment. So they constantly have information at their fingertips constantly, 24 hours a day. And then also, if they go to a meeting, I mean, I'm sure you guys do too. We're in a meeting and we're Googling. I mean, we used to like, I'll do some work on that. I'll get back to y'all. No, somebody's like looking it up right now. Hey, these are the top competitors in this area. In Singapore, they're able to do this. So they're used to instant answers. And so to have to wait for feedback is just like they can't stand it, basically. They're like, what? And so there's this impatient and hunger for getting the feedback faster. So speed matters with getting the feedback. And that's somewhat true of all of us, but it's more true of the millennial generation. Eva, would you, I was going to just quickly give away one book quickly before we... people start leaving, and then we have more questions. Okay, you want to take one? And then, quick. Okay, can you read it?
No. Okay, Enterprise. Just Enterprise. Branch 6551, is your name on it?
Okay.
Okay, no name, but.
Enterprise. Okay, we have four books. This sounds like it's for you. Lynette, so you can come get a book, Lynette.
University of Texas, Lynette Salcido. Okay.
Mel Krause.
There you go. Mel.
Mel, is he here?
Mel Krause. Krause, or whatever. Okay. Oh, look at this. Nice. Boom. Brianna McKinney. You're going to
go. And then is that four? We give four.
If you have them.
Yeah.
Okay. Ann Sullivan.
Some people left. Okay, so do we have one other question here? Yes, I'm sorry.
So both of us manage millennials, and some of them are quite hungry.
Yes.
And we give them feedback, but before some time, we just need them to do their job.
Just get to work.
Like they're ready for the next step. They want to be CEO tomorrow, and I'm not sure how to manage.
Exactly. That's part of the feedback. So willingness to implement and complete projects and in a structured, you know, and finish and check their work. And so you might emphasize that as criteria for which you count as important. Like I know in the world of software development, some people are like hotshot programmers and their code is, they get done really fast. It's really cool and creative. They're brilliant. But then it's not carefully checked. So somebody else, they don't have enough testers to possibly go through that person's work all the time. So so part of it might be, the feedback might be, I need you to thoroughly complete these projects before we can go forward. But I know that's probably that's not going to make them happy necessarily.
Yeah, but then we're scared that they're going to leave because they really want the next step and we just need them to stay put for a year and yeah. Show the good work.
I agree with you. Some of them are hungry, but they want to make CEO tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I find that for those folks, you really need to encourage them by showing them the full picture. A lot of times, we as managers, we have this habit of just making our staff task-oriented. And we really have, with millennials, you can't do that. They've got to see the end-to-end picture. They need to see how this task affects
exactly.
the bottom line. If they don't see it, they just feel like you're giving them crap work. And millennials are incredibly bold. They will tell you, you're giving me crap work, you know, which we didn't say in my day. If I have to give one recommendation, please make sure that the millennials understand the end-to-end picture. I have a millennial on my team who wants to be CEO tomorrow. He felt his task was very task-oriented, so the burden was on me to really help him see the full picture. You know what he did? He also identified a stretch engagement on the team. I said, hey, Marianne, I want to be the analyst on that project. I said, that means you're going to wear two hats? He said, yes. Guess what? He's so fulfilled now. He's challenged. I know he's going to be stressed out soon, but we'll manage the stress. But he's happy because he's doing something that he felt he chose. He had a say in his project. And I put the burden on the managers. You know, we really have to help these guys.
So give them challenging roles and explain.
Yes, they are hungry. They, you know, I call them the now generation. It's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's Snapchat, everything is now. And so we have to accommodate that hunger and that instant gratification.
And I love what you said also about the big picture. It's always important to just have another meeting and spend more time on the big picture. You might have a process map, have post-its on the wall, to show what we're trying to achieve, what the CEO said, how our group's doing this, how we're doing that. So excellent, excellent suggestions. So we need to use these people. Okay, so one thing to do, if you're a manager, it's really important to give feedback, give more feedback. And if you haven't been doing it, you need to tell people, hey, I want to start more feedback, and I want to hear from you guys, too. And if you are an employee, also you want to look for employees who, when you hire people, if you're going to promote people to management, you want to make sure that anybody promoted to a manager level or even a project leader status is willing to give feedback. That's part of your criteria. And then also for individual contributors, you want to look for an environment in which you can receive feedback. So in a job interview, you might ask, can you tell me about the feedback? I'm really interested in frequent feedback and development. Is that something that is important in your job? So when you seek jobs. Okay, I can stay after. I don't want to hold y'all, but I really appreciate the discussion. You all raised some great questions and gave some great comments. And if you're interested in the book, it's available on Amazon or in the bookstore. I'm going to sign some books in a few minutes. Thank you.